Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.
Kaya Talk.
Kaya Talk.
How much more?
On the street.
Information does anybody need?
On the air.
All right, so we take reaction. I'm sure you all heard, and we obviously had to come out there because we wouldn't be able to play the entire speech given by the MMC of Finance. But to react to this is the DA Shadow MMC of Finance in the city of Johannesburg, Councillor Chris Santana. A very good evening to you, Councillor. Good evening, and thank you so much for being with us.
Good evening, and thank you to your listeners as well.
The DA's reaction to the budget tabled earlier on today?
So the budget table today, if we have to be blunt, is for dreamers. Yes, there's some good initiative, or the only good initiative out there was that they've decided to adopt a program that City of Cape Town uses to actually track projects that are on the ground.
The service delivery tracking app.
Yes. And far too long, obviously, what's been happening is, you know, stuff goes unrecorded, unnoticed. You ask for a report from council as, you know, where's your hotspots? What would we, why is it that we have to keep on giving information in order for you to plan your projects or to plan your capital expenditure is beyond me. You know, the city has been around for many years. And the fact that you're bragging about something that should have been implemented 30 years plus ago, today, this makes no common sense to the average person on the ground.
Councillor Santana, just give us a sense of how will it work? Will the public have access to that app?
Well, that's yet to be seen. I'm obviously hoping that it should be. And over and above that, it should then plot hotspots or plot problem areas for argument's sake. You know, if you're continuously getting a burst in a road, and it's, you know, your neighbor, then you, it should highlight all those hotspots. So the city could do proper planning going forward with regard to then capital expenditure and improvement in its infrastructure. So that's to be seen. And I'm sure as residents and councillors, I think we will test it and see whether it gives the fruits that we're all hoping for that will come out later.
Mm. You've obviously, we came out just after she spoke of the Lilian Ngonyi and the fact that it'll be ready in August 2025. You've raised concerns, though, saying, well, how? Because we know that the infrastructure budget has decreased.
Correct. And over and above that, it's quite amazing because I think a month ago or a couple of months back, they said to us it would be completed by the 30th of June. So, that target keeps on getting shifted out. And the sad reality and the sad part about it, I think we're really on our third contractor to deal with this issue. And it comes back to where we keep on complaining about is why does the city of Johannesburg not have a blacklisting of contractors and or service providers? And if you have to ask National Treasury, they'll tell you that Joburg doesn't have one. Yet Cape Town consistently has one that's registered with National Treasury. It is something that we're obviously driving. I serve both on Group Finance and the Public Accounts Committee, Municipal Public Accounts Committee. And it's something that we're driving and trying to implement, which is obviously fairly new, but it shouldn't be. It should have been in place. We should not be giving contracts to frivolous contractors that are unable to actually implement projects. And you can see it all around the city. A project starts and it never gets completed. I have two projects in my ward where I'm waiting more than 18 months after the actual contract had been suspended due to non-performance. And I still don't have those contracts, you know, those projects completed, for service delivery. And yet they allow the projects to extend way past the actual contracted date. So for argument's sake, the one project was, I think it was 8 months. It went nearly to 12 months. Still, I still don't have my bridge. One is a bridge and the other one is a reservoir. The other one was they extended to literally 2 years, and all I have is a screening platform. So for me, there's a complete lack of project management, and we're hoping that, you know, these issues will be resolved. And in my view, I do not feel that sufficient consequence management has been taken against either officials and or and or service providers and / contractors for non-service delivery issues.
Because I was going to ask you about when we speak about Lilian Ngoyi in particular, for instance, we've been tracking the fact that there's been a dispute with the contractor, and part of the problem is that from my understanding, and maybe you can add to that, is that we weren't adequately paying them. Then they decided to stop with the work, and then there was a dispute, and then there was a settlement, and it went on. Is that a similar kind of issue, or are you saying there are other problems? Are there more corrupt issues that disrupt the progress of these contracts, of these projects?
So from my experience, and I'm going to speak from my experience,
yes,
we are giving contractors, we are giving contracts to businesses who either underquote or you know, to get the business.
Yeah.
And then the realization comes in from the fact that the realization comes in that we are unable to, you know, to service that contract because of the fact that they've underquoted. They therefore stall, or it's cash flow issues within the contractors themselves. They don't have sufficient cash to actually carry the contract to certain points because their money will only come on work certified. So, you know, it's a myriad of issues happening all at once. And I do honestly feel that we actually probably need to have a review process that when contracts are awarded, is not necessarily always look at the cheapest one because it was the cheapest quote. It's actually to assess whether the contractor at large could actually facilitate the work that's been done, and do they understand the implications of underquoting and what that means for them as a business. So I'm trying not to give projects, you know, because you've underquoted to get a project, but then you don't do service delivery. And I think that's what we're seeing across the city. There seems to be a lack of understanding, or properly professionalism, if you want to be that blunt, in actually getting a QS to actually understand the quantification of what we're actually doing and quantifying it properly in terms of rand value.
One of the things you've highlighted, and you've continued to do that, is the property valuation, and that obviously that affects our rates and all of that, and you're calling for them to be halted at this point, you know, because they keep hiking them.
Yes. So for me, and it's something I'm going to obviously try and look at after tomorrow and in the coming weeks, is to look at a actual science or actuary to understand whether that tariff rate is going to pose problems in the future, because we're continuously increasing it, and then we increase it when it comes to the property valuation either going up, that value will seem to be unfair in the coming years ahead. So from our standpoint of view as the Democratic Alliance, because we feel and deem that we've added no value to our residents of the city of Johannesburg, either in their property value, because if we look at it, their property values remain stagnant, in some cases even decline, because of the multiple issues of infrastructure failure. So we do not believe that it's fair to our residents to pay for something that they actually have not benefited from.
We'll have to keep, you know, leave it there. But I would like us to, you know, pick up on this, because there are many other issues that I think we need to touch on. But really appreciate your time, and thank you so much for your take on all of this. DA Shadow MMC of Finance in the City of Johannesburg, Councillor Chris Santana. Also on the line with us is Action SA City of Johannesburg Chief Whip, Councillor Lebo Modukanene, and he's on the line with us. A very good evening to you, Councillor Lebo. Thank you so much for your time.
Good evening, Pimelo, and thank you.
I just want to, we got your statement earlier on, and you are also categorically saying that you're rejecting this budget.
Yes, we are rejecting this budget, and we're rejecting it on grounds of principle and people-centered governance.
And tell us about the points that you're rejecting about this budget.
Okay, number one, we're rejecting it because the city of Johannesburg, and this morning the MMC of Finance also mentioned it in her speech, that they are retaining the electricity prepaid surcharge.
Yes.
And remember, this was one of our conditions when we were negotiating our working relationship with the ANC. We did ask them that we will work with them if they're gonna remove the electricity surcharge, and if they're gonna remove the then mayor Kabelo Kwamanda.
Mm.
That did happen, but with the surcharge, they failed to remove it during the adjustment budget earlier this year, and now in this budget. And we did have a sit down with the ANC led delegation,
mm-hmm.
and yes, and we did again put this on the table, propose for them to remove the 200 surcharge.
Yeah.
In addition to that, we also proposed alternative sources of revenue to offset that electricity surcharge.
Mm. Yes, I remember that. Councillor Modukanene, just talk to me about what your thoughts are around, you know, we obviously have the 27 billion water infrastructure backlog. There is an issue of collecting you know, revenue from us who are not paying our rates and taxes and for services. Where would you think the money would come from? We know that there has been a decrease in the budget of road infrastructure. Funding has come down and other underspending on infrastructure. Your thoughts on where the money could come from?
Look, and we've proposed this as well before, because we do have, you know, our large power users, our businesses, you know, provincial, even our provincial governments, national governments, there are those who own the city. And we did propose, let's start there. Let's start by collecting from our large power users. Let's start by collecting from our government departments. Because last year it was around 52 billion, the money that was owed by government departments and large power users owing the city. So if we can start there, at least a fraction or half of that money, then we'll be good. But we all know that we've also received allegations from community members that the very same people who are supposed to collect or disconnect if there's non-payment go to our community members and ask for money. So they pocket the money for themselves. Instead of the money going back to the city, it goes into the pockets of corrupt officials.
Yeah. You're calling for the freezing of some posts because, you know, that salary bill is bulging. But, you know, when you talk to residents, they'll tell you, you go to a clinic, they say they're understaffed. You go to the police station, or at least the metro section of the Johannesburg security cluster. And it doesn't seem that we've got enough police, or at least metro police all around. Who would you cut? Whose jobs would you cut or at least freeze?
I would say let's go straight to city of Johannesburg municipal workers. I know at the clinic, security guards and cleaners, you know, our frontline workers, there is a sort of staff. But when you go to the core administration itself, it is bloated. You know, it's very worrying when you see more than 21.6 billion going towards the cost of employees of the city. So there was also allegations of ghost workers. If we can launch an investigation in that and check in that, that's where that's the starting point.
I suppose an audit of sorts is what you're calling for.
Yes.
All right. We're going to have to leave it there because we've run out of time, but a lot to really, really go into and unpack. But thank you so much for making time for us. That's the Action SA City of Johannesburg Chief Whip, Councillor Lebo Modukanene, and they're telling us that they are rejecting this budget. And obviously, we'll see how they take this forward within council.
Point of View.
Discussing the world around you.
On the street.
On the air.
And at kaya959.co.za.
All right. I've got calls coming in. 086-00-00959. I see Malitzima. You want to comment on the budget as well. Good evening.
Hi, Abdullah. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Kidding. You know, I get a bit angry having to work at Ivory Park. I was thinking, I'm going to buy a budget to Ivory Park. When I viaje, ne, I only pull and get a ton of people doing anything like that. Bridge a line to Hakos was in Yako Ivory too. A telling in a limit cuckoo, Balibi, and everything. Why does it look like how many years? I was thinking, kona no go hike go di chain go hai ha mamaka ne go di six ho ya go di six mo la mo pila pitching ke ho tsana le di ba ge tsana ba tsaba di tlemo ba na di ntla ba na di ntla mo di chain mo most of the people my mom built her house the RDP they were both there for those who did not have anything they were not working but most of the people mola but a helping so you think tshwetse ka fela go kae so di trata ba tsaka di trata fela ba ntse di trata mo la ba ga le batse mara ha o ka ya go down day o ya go di 15 a gona ntse ya infrastructure ya di trata so another thing mo tla mo mamaka gona le mo le mali le nona le tlhaga it was a field so there were people yeah. who came to plant in kuku and everything ba biza enzong na ba tsa electricity from di paling tsa bo mamaka and everything my mom had to live without electricity for 8 months because they say nthe ya khona e tubulile they did not do anything la mama ba patela marete so they don't do anything optimal so le last by the hey mayor entire budget for Ivory Park Orange Farm baya phosisa sithimelo le fact that ayikhiphayo iyenzayo because ubona manje ikhukhula maziza laphe Ivory Two laphe bridge line ikhukhu ihlala ihamba khona abayizisi sithimelo lapho manje le bridge ni Ivory Two it's still the same it stays the same year in and year out ema 15 kuhlala kunjalo intrada ziqedwanga kwenziwanga yini so they must just take out Ivory Park out of their mouth because there is no development. I can say since 1990-something, there is no development in that place. Mm-hmm. So because we say kaya la paya, I think that by the time we get to my so, by the time we discuss the project, Kenzan ultimately, they must just leave Ivory Park out of their mouth. There's nothing. There's no development that they are doing for that community. Nothing.
Yo, Malitsema, thank you. Thanks for highlighting all of that to us, Malitsema in Springs.
Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.